Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my friend Gail Summers about women, mothering, working women, working mothers. And she's been quoting some very interesting secular writers and psychiatrists whose views corroborate exactly what we have learned from the scriptures. And I wonder, Gail, do you think it's possible that there may be a swing of the pendulum back towards women staying home and taking care of their children?
Well, I hope that's true, and I think I have good reason to think that it is true. I make a point of watching the Boston Globe every day for anything that would be useful in the cause. And now the Boston Globe, for those of you who don't know, is a very liberal newspaper. And it's not the sort of newspaper that you expect to see anything favorable about women staying home with their children. I remember one very interesting article on the opinion page of the Globe written by a woman who's a reporter for a Washington newspaper. And she was writing about the problem of the mommy track. Recently, a woman who's the head of a corporation talked about the fact that there are women who are at corporate levels who have family concerns, and there are women who don't have family concerns at the corporate level, and there perhaps should be two different tracks for those women. And the woman reporter who was writing was questioning whether it should be frowned upon that a woman, whether she's at the corporate level or not, that a woman places at the top of her life her family's welfare. Is that really something that should be frowned upon? The rest of the Globe was suggesting that was outrageous to think that a woman had put her family first and therefore should be on a mommy track. And the reporter was saying that if there is such a thing as a mommy track, then she wanted to know when the train left because she was ready to get on it. Not because she was ready to become a corporate leader who was on that track, but because she wanted to be counted in with those women who thought that raising their family and family concerns should come first. Why should we apologize for the fact that these concerns do come first? It's a very darkened age, I think, that has to apologize for taking care of its family, that I have to care for my family members, therefore I have to apologize. I think that based on what I have seen in newspapers and magazines, that the idea that women have something unique to give their children in the early years is coming back into vogue, and that there are studies being done now of children, how they fare in daycare centers. The fact is about studies on children who are in daycare centers is this: you can't really be sure until that child is about 30. Exactly. How he fared right. In a daycare center.
We really don't know enough now.
We don't know enough. You can't look at a child who's 5 and say, he looks fine, he acts fine, he's doing fine in daycare. You won't know until that person is 30 years old and has deep questions about whether he's loved or whether he's important in the world, because he was left at a very early age with people who were not his parents, who he was cared for by a person who was not his mother. His mother left early in the morning and came home late. That is a very difficult thing to measure at the age of 5.
Gail, have you heard about night care now? There are actually organizations in New York City and some of the other big cities I've read where you can deliver your child to the daycare center at 7 o'clock in the morning. They will keep the child till 5 o'clock. Then they are responsible to deliver the child to the night care center and keep until 10 o'clock, whereupon one or the other of the two working parents picks the child up, takes him home, puts him straight to bed, gets him up in time to get to the daycare center at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, back to this mommy track thing, I have read some things which indicate that there are women who are absolutely insisting on eating their cake and having it too.
Right.
They want to be the CEO, the chief executive officer, and they want also to be able to give their family highest priority.
Mm-hmm.
well, this is an obvious impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
But when they are not chosen to be the chief executive officer because those in charge of doing the choosing decide that this woman might possibly give her family a higher priority, then they protest that they have been discriminated
mm-hmm.
against.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is a very audacious thing myself, to tell you the truth. I think it is very audacious. And again, it just lacks common sense to think that a corporation, let's say a business, which is really out to make money. That's what businesses are for. They're for making money. They're supposed to be efficient and profitable and make the most of what they have. So I don't understand. I really think it's an audacious thing for a woman to expect a business to bend over and not be efficient because it is trying to let her do what she should be doing at home with her children. I don't see why a company has to be accountable to a woman because she has been passed over, since she really cannot give the energy, cannot give the time, cannot give the focus and concentration that somebody who doesn't have that responsibility can do. Let's face it, the world is unfair. And, you know, I just think that we try so hard to make everything absolutely fair. The world is not fair. Life is not fair. And if we're adult and grown up and have any kind of common sense, we should be willing to accept that there are limitations in fairness and not regret. And this is what rankles with me, that a woman thinks that she has to regret what she gives up in order to be with her family and not be able to see that being with their family is as powerful and as important and as noteworthy as anything she could do in a business. I don't care if she is the CEO. Whatever she could accomplish there cannot equal what she could accomplish in her family. But women don't think this way.
A quotation from Golda Meir. Most of us would think of her as a fairly powerful woman, but she was the mother of four children. And she said, when you're in the office, all you can think about is what you didn't get done at home.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're at home, mm-hmm. all you can think about is what you didn't get done in the office, and it will tear you to pieces.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now there's Golda Meir mm-hmm. giving testimony from the hard experience of mm-hmm. her own life.
Mm-hmm. I think that there are lots of women now, secular women, who are willing to admit that it's really not possible, it's not healthy, it doesn't do much for the women or the children to be facing this dilemma of, can I give the most to my job, and can I at the same time give as much as my family requires? I think women are willing now to admit that it's not possible, and that's why I'm optimistic about the pendulum swinging back.
I want to read one paragraph from the reply that you gave to a woman whose letter I sent you, asking you to reply to her because I knew you could do a much better job on this subject of working mothers. You suggested that each woman has to decide for herself what she can do and what she cannot do. You've said there is some liberty there, but we are not at liberty to pretend that women do not have as their primary work, when they are married with children, a domestic commitment that supersedes everything else. If we refuse to accept that, we are challenging not just the way things have always been done, but the Apostle Paul himself. So we're back to the authority of Scripture. Do you feel that the Scripture tells us that a woman's primary work is motherhood?
I do believe that the passages that we've talked about in Titus and Timothy make it clear that a woman who has a husband and children has as her first responsibility the domestic care of that husband and those children. I do believe there is some liberty, as I mentioned there, for a woman to have a job which would require her to be outside of the home, as I myself have. I have a small job at a Christian liberal arts college, requires me to be away from home probably about 5 hours a week. And I think that there might be a lot of other possibilities for a woman. to have work outside or inside of the home. I'm not saying that the Apostle Paul says, you can never have a job. But I am saying that what we have to do is form for ourselves a grid work. We have to put down before us what Paul has said. What does the Scripture teach about my responsibility as a woman married with children? And then if I have a job possibility, how do I work that into my goals, my first priorities, a job that doesn't drain me, that doesn't keep me away from the children too much would be fine and possible. It's not as if we have to just sort of hunker down in the home and never go out.
What would you say would be a good limit for a woman to set on working outside the
home? Okay, that's a good question, and I think it does have to be answered. I can't imagine a woman being away from home more than 3 hours a day, let's say 5 days a week, outside of the home for more than 3 hours a day and feel like she's really giving her all to her family. I would also question, even if a job were less than 3 hours a day, but a very emotionally draining job, let's say a therapist, if you were a therapist, and you had to really soak yourself with the problems of other people, that I think would probably eat away at a woman's vitality and her ability to cope with what she has at home. Even a job that was done in the house, let's say sewing, if it made her too tense, if it made her want to push the kids out of the way, I would question whether that was the right job for her. That's how I would go about it.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you so much, Gail Summers. We'll be hearing from her again. Remember that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.